Good afternoon to the House Transportation Committee and everybody online and watching from home. Today is Thursday, March 3rd, and we're calling into order at 1:07 p.m. We have a full committee today. We have Representative Drummond, Representative Kronk, Representative Stoops, Representative McCabe, Representative McKay, Vice Chair Hannon, and myself, Representative Hopkins. Let the record show we have more than a quorum. We have a full House today to conduct business. Assisting us today is our recording secretary, Leah Frazier, and our new LIO moderator coming to join us, Emma Turner. Are there any questions? Awesome. Okay. Our first and only item before us today is House Bill 366, dealing with legislative approval for Alaska Railroad bonds for replacement of the Seward Passenger Dock and Terminal, introduced by the House Transportation Committee. With us today is my aide, Joe Hardenbrook, to walk us through the bill, as well as representatives from the Alaska Railroad to testify and answer any questions from the committee. We'll also go ahead and take public testimony today and then set it aside for further consideration. Mr. Hardenbrook, you're already at the table, so why don't you go ahead and put yourself on the record and run us through the beginning of the bill so we can get to questions for the railroad folks.
Excellent. Thank you, Chair Hopkins, members of the committee. For the record, Joe Hardenbrook, staff to Representative Hopkins and the House Transportation Committee. House Bill 366 is a relatively straightforward bill allowing the Alaska Railroad to issue bonds for the replacement of a well-used asset nearing the end of its useful life. Once completed, this project will provide the funding for repayment of the bonds, as well as continuing to underpin the financial success and stability of the railroad and the communities it serves. The Alaska Railroad Corporation is seeking authority from the Alaska State Legislature to issue bonds of no more than $60 million to fund the construction of a new passenger dock and terminal passenger facility in Seward, Alaska. While the corporation must seek authority from the states to issue these bonds under Alaska Statute 4240690, the state of Alaska is not liable for the debts of the Alaska Railroad Corporation. The Alaska Railroad has maintained facilities for passengers arriving in and departing from Seward for more than 100 years. In 1966, the existing passenger dock was constructed after the destruction of the dock, along with most of the city of Seward, in the 1964 Great Alaska Earthquake. The dock's pile foundation has experienced significant corrosion over its half-century lifespan, which limits the dock's remaining useful life and has resulted in weight restrictions being implemented. While the facility is safe to use, the dock is clearly nearing the end of its useful life. Due to its deteriorating condition and to accommodate larger class ships that are expected to make the cross-Gulf trip to Seward, the new dock must be completed in time for the 2024 cruise ship season. As such, the new passenger dock will be designed to accommodate anticipated cruise traffic for the next 50 years, be capable of simultaneously mooring two ships measuring over 1,000 feet long, and provide for off-season mooring of freight vessels. Critically important is that all construction must avoid interruption to cruise or rail passenger service between May and September of 2022 and 2023. Total anticipated cost for construction of the new passenger dock and terminal, as well as demolition of the existing dock and terminal, is $79 million. To generate the revenue necessary for this project, the railroad will utilize the existing $12 Seward dock passenger fee and implement a $15 per cruise ship passenger dock improvement fee starting in 2022. This funding, along with other dock revenues and $1 million in other railroad funds, will be used to provide an estimated $19 million for dock and terminal construction. The railroad will seek an additional $60 million by issuing bonds to fund the remainder of the cost of construction. The debt service on the $60 million will be paid directly from dock revenues. Will be paid entirely from dock revenues. In order to meet the 2024 need for the new dock, it is imperative that the corporation coordinate public debt funding by the middle of this year. Online today for testimony and to answer questions from the committee are Clark Hopp, Chief Operations Officer for the Alaska Railroad, as well as Barbara Amy, Chief Financial Officer, and Tim Sullivan, who's the Director of External Affairs. At this point, Chair Hopkins, I'd invite, with the committee's permission, Mr. Hopp, Chief Operations Officer of the Alaska Railroad, to walk the committee through a short presentation on the project.
Thank you, Mr. Hardenbrook. Mr. Hopp with the Alaska Railroad, are you available to and online to work us through the presentation?
Mr. Chairman, I am.
All right, fantastic. We are ready when you are and on slide one.
Hey, well, good afternoon, everyone. For the record, my name is Clark Hopp. I'm the Chief Operating Officer of the Alaska Railroad. And as mentioned, with the Railroad Online is Barbara Amey, Chief Financial Officer, and Tim Sullivan, Director of External Affairs. I do apologize for not being able to attend in person, but I'm very happy to be calling in today to talk about this exciting project. It's not, you know, only exciting for the Alaska Railroad and the city of Seward, but also the entire South Central and interior visitor industry. And as mentioned, I believe we've provided ahead a handout, a fact sheet, and also a short PowerPoint presentation that we will walk through here. So we'll get moving along here on slide one. So as mentioned, as well as over 50 locomotives, 50 passenger cars, hundreds of freight cars, and 600 plus miles of track, the Alaska Railroad is also in the dock business, owning three in our most southern Alaska terminus. So we've got a great picture there on slide one. So as you're looking at the picture, that's a good snapshot of the Alaska Railroad waterfront in Seward. And on your left, you'll see the freight dock. That freight dock is currently undergoing expansion as we lengthen it to address growing freight opportunities in Seward and for the region. It's a great project. However, it's not our topic of conversation today. Then bracketing the passenger dock to the right of the photo, you'll see the coal dock, which is not currently in use as export coal market has been dormant for a number of years. So our primary focus of attention today would be the passenger dock, which is in the center of that picture. And as recited as we listened to House Bill 356, it was built in 1966. And it started its life as a freight dock. It has, over time been decommissioned as a freight dock. As mentioned, we do have weight restrictions on the dock, but it has been a well-performing passenger dock for many years. On that pier, on the north end, is a 26,000 square foot terminal building for passenger processing, and it's well used. This dock and terminal building has served its purpose well, but corrosion and time have taken toll, and it is nearing the end of its useful life. And as mentioned, it's still safe, but as we like to say, it's headed toward toxic air, where we are trying to make the last few years of its life functional, but it is coming to an end. Just to remind everyone, this is a key piece of infrastructure for the railroad and also for the South Central interior visitor industry. You know, the majority of the cruise passengers arriving in South Central Alaska came over this dock in 2019, which was nearly a quarter of a million. You know, those are passengers that ride the Alaska Railroad, that rent cars, take motor coaches, or fly to locations all along the rail belt from Seward to Fairbanks and beyond. For 2022, there's 80-plus ship calls forecasted as the cruise industry begins to find their footing again post-COVID pandemic. And there's continued opportunities for growth. I know the Alaska Railroad is bullish on the cruise industry as more cruise lines look to partake in cross-Gulf activities and come to Seward. So if we could move on to slide two.
Mr. Hopp, before we go on to slide two, I have a question from Representative Stoops.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, hello, Mr. Hopp. Is this the same dock that was utilized by the Alaska Marine Highway System when the ferry was going into Seward?
Yes, through the chair, it was utilized at one time.
Perfect. So if it still would be, provided there was a deal made, a deal struck, and the ferries decided to go back into Seward, this would be some place that they would have access to have the ability to tie up to.
Yes, it certainly, if that was the desire, there would have to be some design considerations to handle that, but certainly that's within the realm of possibility.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative McCabe.
Thank you, through the chair. What kind of design considerations and how much money? And would it be better to do them on the front end rather than wait for a year after this is complete and then have to modify it like we've done with some other ferry things. Sorry, speaker.
No problem.
Good question. Answer through the chair. You know, how much money, I don't know is the answer today. Certainly, I agree with you. Any considerations for something like that is much better early on in the design to consider. So certainly this would be the time in the next 6 months to have that discussion.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Hannon.
Let me ask it another way. let me ask it another way, because you're talking, I represent Juneau and Skagway, and we've seen those mega ships, and one of the issues with building the dock to address the mega ships that are now Panamax Plus, I think they're called, is that things are built to a scale that what we used to think of as a cruise ship size or a ferry size is so small. Will this new dock only be able to accommodate the mega ships, or will you still have two sides on that dock and one built to accommodate smaller ships if they're not all Panamax?
Yeah. Well, through the chair, the answer to that question is the dock will be able to accommodate a varied size of ships. So not all cruise companies bring what we would call the Panamax or the large size cruise ships in there. So some do, but we have multitude of different cruise companies that would port in Seward all the way from petite cruise lines with smaller ships up into the large cruise line. So, you know, without, you know, I don't have that much knowledge of the Alaska Marine Highway and the size and type of ships, but certainly I would believe that if that was a conversation that needs to happen, and we can certainly look at that. So there's also flexibility in Seward. I would remind the committee that the freight dock also has the ability to accommodate cruise ships and ferries also.
Follow up.
Thank you, through the chair. And when you're doing this, the presentation slide focuses on the passenger dock. You've now referenced the freight dock, but you also noted that the coal dock has basically not been in use in this design phase. Are you looking at doing modifications to the coal dock, or are we going to just let it sit idle instead of putting it into play and being able to accommodate perhaps more cruise ships or other freight?
Through the chair, good question. So currently there is no plans for any modification of the coal dock in this project. Certainly the coal industry has been stagnant for several years. So there's several partners that still have interest in that coal dock. So any alteration of the coal dock would have to be, you know, discussed among all the partners, all the stakeholders that have an interest in the export coal business. But I would also say that the design of that coal dock, it would take quite a bit of retrofitting to be able to handle cruise ships. It's a very tall and high dock, and it's not structured such that it would be easy to accommodate cruise ships. But with that said, though, again, we have mentioned the freight dock. The freight dock does have the ability to accommodate additional overflow cruise traffic if there was some.
Thank you. Representative McCabe has another question.
Thank you. Through the chair, so how about in reverse? Would this dock have the ability to accommodate freighters? Say, you know, if Alaska had some sort of a issue with food sustainability and we needed to get an extra freighter into the state, or two extra freighters or three extra freighters, would this dock be able to be used for anything other than passenger services?
Yes, through the chair, another good question. So there's really two typical approaches to cruise docks. You see in southeast Alaska, you'll see the floating top type cruise dock, which is only a passenger-oriented facility. The preliminary designs for this dock have been a fixed dock, which would bring great flexibility to the use of the dock. And our current plan would be to have a robust winter season of freight activity between the freight dock and this new passenger dock. So, yes, to answer your question, it would have quite a bit of flexibility to receive freight also.
Thanks.
Certainly. Good to hear that. Please proceed on to slide two. Oh, wait. Sorry, Mr. Hoff. We have a question from Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That sort of answers my question from the sponsor statement, where it is said that this dock will accommodate two cruise ships measuring over 1,000 feet long and provide for off-season mooring of freight vessels. So it's not just mooring them, it is going to provide an operational dock for loading and unloading freight. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes, through the chair. So our primary freight dock is the freight dock on the left of that picture. However, yes, if there is a need for additional moorings and to actually work freight, this dock is available for that type of activity.
Follow up?
Certainly.
And the kind of freighters that come into the port of Alaska that have those large structures that remove the containers from the vessel, that doesn't appear to be part of this plan. Is that correct?
Through the chair, that is correct. So the large container ships that currently port at the port of Alaska, this passenger dock would not be able to accommodate that type of activity. That would require a very wide dock to accommodate ramps to get the containers off. So, no, it would not. But other various types of freight activities it could handle.
Follow up. So, in other words, none of these docks would be able to handle the type of freighters that currently come into the port of Alaska, even in an emergency, because of the lack of the equipment and the size of the dock.
Through the chair, let me clarify. The freight dock does have an expansion project planned. And yes, the freight dock itself on the left would able, in an emergency situation, be able to land in those types of container ships. The new proposed passenger dock would not. However, the freight dock would, if that's clear to everyone.
Okay. Thank you. That's helpful.
Great. Thank you. Please proceed on to slide two.
Okay. Slide two. So, we've already kind of jumped the gun here a little bit, but because of that condition of that passenger dock, the railroad has embarked on a project to rebuild the pier and the building, modernizing both to meet current and future demands. So the plan is to build a new longer dock, 1,200 feet by 120, and a new building on the shore. In conjunction with overflow capacity, the new freight dock will meet customers' needs. So we've talked about some of that already. The project is on an aggressive timeline to meet customer demands for ability to handle larger ships and desire to have a new pier in place for the 2024 cruise season. So project funding details, it is a $79 million project, $62 million for the dock, and $17 million for the building. Current plan funding source would be $60 million in Alaska Railroad revenue bonds and $19 million in internal Alaska Railroad funding, i.e. cash. That said, we will also continue to look to optimize the financial structure of this transaction. There are opportunities for federal grants and other sources of dollars that could buy down the amount borrowed, but with that said, they would have to fit into our aggressive timeline. So sometimes federal granting, do not necessarily facilitate a fast-track project, but we will continue to look. And also of note, the $60 million is a ceiling for us. If we find a better way, we'll issue less bonds.
Mr. Hoppe, the question from Representative McCabe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Hoppe, a couple questions. $19 million in ARRC cash. How much, I guess without being crass, how much do you have in the bank? Is that going to leave you short? You don't want to spend through all your money into one project, so... I'm hoping that doesn't leave you short. I had heard after the COVID thing that the railroad was struggling. So I'm interested to know if that $19 million is going to leave you short or not.
So through the chair, I will answer a quick answer, and then I could defer to our chief financial officer, Barbara Amy, for a little more in-depth answer. We can afford the $19 million. Yes, COVID has been a struggle. And yes, there will be reserves beyond the $19 million in the piggy bank for the Alaska Railroad. But I would defer, Barbara, if you would like to bring a little more color to that answer, that'd be great.
Certainly. Thank you, Clark. This is Barbara Amey, Chief Financial Officer of the Alaska Railroad, for the record. Yes, we believe the cash flows from the dock beginning in 2022 and the revenue bonds will be sufficient to cover the cost of the project.
Thank you. And follow-up? So, and I'm not sure who this is for, but what kind of federal grants are out there for you? Is it strictly tourism grants, passenger service grants, rail service grants, large construction? I know there's what they call ultra-large construction grants of $100 million or more or something like that. So I'm curious what kind of grants. You mentioned those, so I guess they're fair game, but what kind of grants are you looking at for this or other projects?
Certainly, I will take a stab at that. So through the chair, answer there is the majority of the grants that typically fall within, you know, the range of the Alaska Railroad to reach out and to apply for are typically passenger movement related grants through the Federal Transit Administration. That's been our biggest area of success applying for grants. We have received a few grants in the past through the Federal Railroad Administration, which gives a broader swath of scopes of work, which allows us to work on our track condition and other projects not directly related to passenger service. I will tell you that typically the grants for docks have been somewhat limited in the past. Now, with a lot of the infrastructure money that the federal government has made available, we're still exploring. We believe there are some opportunities through different types of grants, INFRA for being one, which was known as the old Tiger Grant program in the past. But like I said, you know, the slow motion of most grants will have a difficult time pairing up with our aggressive construction and project schedule. But those are typically the type of grants that we pursue.
Thank you. And one more, if you wouldn't mind.
Certainly.
So, how confident are you that you'll be able to, that the railroad will be able to actually finish this particular project inside the money that we're given and the time frame that you have?
Well, through the chair, looking at it today, we've been looking and working at this project for nearly 3 years. And so we have had a tremendous amount of industry outreach to make sure that we have the scope of the project correctly. The Alaska Railroad has quite a bit of experience in the mega project arena. If you recall, you know, we constructed a Tanana River Bridge up in Salt Shore, Alaska. It was $188 million. We delivered on time and under budget. We also helped the Massey Borough in development and partial construction of the Port McKenzie rail line. So that capability does reside at the Alaska Railroad. But we feel like we have quite a bit of expertise in designing, developing, and constructing these type of projects. Mm-hmm. With that said, you know, we're not necessarily dock experts. We own docks, so we have gone out and you know, got our fair share of consulting help to make sure that we design the right project. And there is a fair amount of great resources now with all the dock activity that's happening in Alaska, that there are contractors in Alaska that have great experience at building these type of projects. So all that to say that our confidence is high to be able to build this project for this budget.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hopp. Please proceed. Oh, wait, sorry, we have a question from Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I keep thinking of the impacts here. I know you can tell when a cruise ship is in Seward, because when you're heading down to Seward on the Seward Highway, you pass bus after bus after bus after bus loaded with passengers on that two-lane road north. Are these passengers going to be, obviously they're going to head into South Central Alaska. Will they be going on the railroad or by bus, or it all depends on the various shore options that the cruise ships provide them? And then, of course, the railroad is the railroad right there by the docks? I'm not remembering it being really close to the docks.
So through the chair, yes. Actually, the railroad, we We run a charter business for most of the larger customers that dock and steward. We call it the Alaska Railroad Cruise Train, which is separate from our regular scheduled business. And so we run a train with over a 500 passenger capacity for just about every large cruise ship that lands in Seward. So still 500 and some odd passengers is still just a small percentage of the number of people on those cruise ships. So yes, you are correct. They will be moving with all different types of modes of transportation. Part of them will be moving on the Alaska Railroad cruise train. A lot of them will be moving through motor coach. Others will be renting cars for transportation, and even a few will be flying out of the Seward Airport. So I hope that answers your question.
Yes, it does. Thank you very much, Mr. Hopp.
Mr. Hopp, Representative Kronk has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to deviate a little bit off this, if that's okay. You just threw out the $188 million for the bridge by Salcha. Where was that funding from? And I just have to ask, I think that was built in 2013. If we were building that for a reason, have we progressed to actually continue that project, or did we just build a bridge to nowhere in 2013?
The chair, good question. So that funding for that project was, I believe, $100 plus million, around $110 million was Department of Defense monies. The remainder was State of Alaska monies. And if you remember, the incentive behind the state funding that portion of the bridge was to continue to support North End military operations, Eielson Air Force Base and Fort Wainwright and so on and so forth. The bridge was the first piece, critical part of the overall rail extension, and the reason the bridge was built first was so that the Eielson and Fort Wainwright could have access to Canada Flats training facility, which is known as J-Park. And so, yes, they do currently use that bridge in wintertime to access J-Park for training. And then, quite frankly, with the downturn in the economy and, you know, in the 15-16 time frame and then COVID, that the momentum from the Department of Defense in funding the rest of that project is stalled. I do know there's some discussions within the legislature talking about a bill to support our Alaska legislature, our federal folks to begin pursuing that opportunity again. So I hope that answers that question.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Kronk. Now we just need to get railroad on either side of that bridge. Yep. Please proceed, Mr. Hopp.
Okay, just a reminder, and I think everybody understands this, per railroad statutes, you know, issuance of public debt requires legislative authority in addition to our usual board of directors approval. And the key point here, which has already been made, is that this debt by statute is not debt to the state, nor is there any recourse to the state. You know, we have been in front of this body as Alaska Railroad a number of times requesting and receiving such authority. Last time, I believe, was in 2015. It's not something we do every day, but something reserved for larger critical initiatives, which this passenger dock is.
Mr. Hopp, real fast, sorry, we have a question from Representative Stoops.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Hopp. I presume the Board of Directors has approved this.
Through the chair, that is correct.
Thank you.
Please proceed.
The final point of this slide is this is a time-sensitive approval. We need to be in the market, as mentioned, no later than Q3 of this year to meet the project demands. It must be approved this legislative session to keep this project on track to be able to welcome those larger ships in 2024. So that's the end of slide 2, and we can move on to slide 3 or take some questions here before we move to slide 3.
We got at least one question here before we move on.
Just one. Right. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Hopwin, back on my other question, when did the board approve this project?
I believe it was the board meeting in February. We also have Tim Sullivan online. Am I correct in saying that, Tim?
2022?
2022, yes.
Thank you.
Representative Hannon has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Hopp, is there a reason that you didn't ask for it last year so that you had a little more lead time to... We can be extremely efficient, but sometimes we're kind of dilatorious as a bunch.
Well, the board is...
So, through the chair, yeah, I have an answer. I try not to make it long-winded for you all. So, we began to move this project forward in a serious way nearly 24 months ago. And the first direction that we went was with a public-private partnership, which would not have required any type of, probably would not have required any type of bonding activity. And we had gone out for a formal request for proposals to the industry, looking for someone to come in and create a private-public partnership and prosecute this project as the designer and builder and operator of the dock. We got a long way down that path, and then just late 2021, one of the partners in the consortium that had won that RFP and was helping to develop this project decided to pursue other opportunities within South Central Alaska other than Seward, which then caused that group to fall apart and caused the railroad then to pick this project up and begin to move it forward ourselves.
Okay, thank you.
Representative McCabe has a question for you.
Thank you, Chair Hopkins. And Mr. Hoff, I'm looking at the 2022 report to the state. It's a five-year capital plan published December 1st, 2021. That's probably not in your package. It's part of my own research. Sorry. I can have it printed. I'll have Angie bring it down for you. I don't see this anywhere in there. Can you help me find it? It might be a combination of a couple of things, but it's nowhere in here. The Seward dock rehabilitation that I can see. It might be a couple of different things. I'm not sure.
Through the chair, can you help me there? What document are you looking at? Your five-year capital planning document?
It's the five-year capital plan published December 1st, 2021, and it's titled the 2022 Report to the State.
I'm going to ask either Tim Sullivan or Barbara Amy to help me here. I thought it was part of our five-year plan. Barbara, do you recall?
I can answer the question. That document, that is the report to the state, comes directly from our five-year plan that goes through our board in our budget meeting in the middle of November. And so in the middle of November, we were still in this, in the mode of public-private partnership with this project. And it wasn't until later on that we, as Clark said, picked the project up and are running it with it ourselves. So that document would not reflect the project as our capital project.
Miss Amy, if it was in the works at the time, this is Representative Hopkins, if it was in the works at the time, wouldn't it have still been in your five-year plan if you were looking at it, even though the type of project changed?
No, because the way we were structuring the public-private partnership would not have required a capital outlay from the rail.
Gotcha. Sorry, Representative McCabe, didn't mean to interrupt. Did you have a follow-up?
No, well, that was my follow-up is one would think if you're spending money, public means that it's our money. Public is part of the public-private partnership. It would be in here somewhere, I would think. It's been 20 years since I really got into balance sheets and reading balance sheets and this sort of, but I don't see it anywhere in public sort of assumes that it would be in here, I would think, if you're, especially if it's 2 years old, so I'm confused, I guess, again.
Well, through the chair, if I could try to help clarify. So the public-private partnership was essentially a concessionaire's agreement to where this private group was going to finance, construct, and operate the dock facility while paying a concessionaire fee to the Alaska Railroad. So that's why you would not see that in that capital program, because there truly was no money being spent by the Alaska Railroad to develop that project.
Thank you. And please just remember to put yourself on the record when you're
making a statement and switching back and forth between speakers. Representative Hannon had a question.
Thank you. Representative McCabe's research then leads me to ask, are there other capital projects that you are in development with that are not part of the state, whether that's hotels or extensions of rail lines that are private partnerships that you're currently working on?
Through the chair, none come to mind that would not be in our five-year capital plan. So this private-public partnership for the sewer dock is a pretty unique situation for us.
Thank you. I guess a follow-up, just a statement. You know, from a legislator's perspective, would we hear that it's a report to us? I guess I'd never interpret it to mean it's only stuff that you have that the legislature has a dollar in. And then it just leads me to think we don't have a whole picture of the railroad. And so, you know, there's a variety of projects across the state that talk about railroad extensions to a variety of potential ports or mines or agriculture developments. And now my thought is, perhaps we should be encouraging you to pursue partnerships to pursue those versus us talking about them if that's the potential. And just wondering if any of those were in the works.
Mm-hmm. So through the chair, if I understand the question, again, the answer is there's none that I'm aware of that are not part of the public record.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Hopp. Please proceed unless there's additional questions or expansion on that for Mr. Sullivan or anybody else.
Okay, I'll pause for a second. If not, I'll move on.
Go for it, Mr. Hopp.
Okay. So slide three. So part of the key piece of the puzzle for us is something that we want to currently highlight. We have entered into a strategic partner with one of our 20-plus year customers, Royal Caribbean Group. You'll hear from them later today, I believe. But, you know, Royal is one of the world's largest cruise companies and a key partner for us in this endeavor, acting as an anchor tenant with long-term berthing arrangements that will provide the fiscal stability to effectively market these bonds. You know, I can't say enough how delighted we are to be working with Royal Caribbean. It's a pretty exciting process. They share a lot of similar values with us at providing excellent customer service in the tourism industry. So this is really, we really appreciate Royal Caribbean and their partnership to help move this project forward. So I will conclude, unless there's other questions, and when I'm done here, we can take more. But I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to present about this project that we're very excited about. You know, it's important to the railroad as it continues to strive to meet our agents of economic development mandate. It's also important for the city of Seward, and it's important to the entire Alaskan visitor industry. So with that said, again, I would say thank you very much to the committee for allowing us to speak, and our group is still available for more questions if there are.
Thank you. I think there are a couple more. Representative McCabe had a question.
Thank you, Chair Hopkins. Mr. Hopkins, so I'm curious. I know that you tow Prince's cars up to Denali from Seward, Royal Caribbean as well?
Royal Caribbean does not own any passenger coaches. We do move Royal Caribbean passengers with our own set of rail cars.
Okay. I guess that takes away the second question, so thank you.
two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
I was intrigued by the previous conversation that we were having, Mr. Hopp, and looking at the next time we'll bring this bill before the committee, which will probably be a week from today, can you please supply us at that time with other capital projects that are on the list that might not be in that project, or maybe just supply us with that five-year capital plan and then allow for a discussion of other projects that might not be included in there? Because that was certainly intriguing, and I share the questions that Representative McCabe and Hannon had.
Yeah, to the chair, we certainly will do that.
Thank
and
you.
I could just, for the record, did want to say that, you know, the last 24 months, the private-public partnership was a very public effort. You know, there was a public request for proposal for Seward, for the Seward passenger dock. I know there were some briefings about the status of the Seward passenger dock by our CEO, Bill O'Leary, at different times when he's in the legislature. So I do know that it was in the public and has been discussed. So I just wanted to put that on the record.
Certainly. Thank you, Mr. Hopp. I'm glad you're following the process for making sure everything's public. When we get a report, we assume it's most of the projects that are going to be in there, that or all of the projects that you guys are planning for the future, so we can understand where the infrastructure development is going to be happening in Alaska. So not knowing that this one was not seeing this one in there is certainly intriguing. So would appreciate an opportunity for that discussion coming forward next Thursday. That looks like the end of your slide presentation, Mr. Hopp. Was there anything else that either you or Ms. Amy or Mr. Sullivan wanted to add to that discussion?
I'll defer to the others, but I have none other than it is a real privilege to speak before this committee, and I really do thank you for the opportunity.
Certainly, thank you. It is good to have the railroad here and moving forward with good development for tourism infrastructure in the state. With that, I don't believe that Ms. Amy and Mr. Sullivan have anything additional to add. They're on questions on my little screen here. So we're going to move on to public testimony. With that, I'm going to open public testimony. It doesn't look like there's anybody in the room for public testimony. So with that, next we do online, we have Jeanette Bauer first. Jeanette, can you please state your name and your affiliation for the record and give us your testimony?
Thank you. Good afternoon. I'm Jeanette Bauer. I'm the city manager for the city of Seward, and I thank you for the opportunity to testify. I've been listening in and have the supporting documents, so I know that you have the documents and the resolution that the city Seward City Council adopted in support of the project. We believe the project to be a vital project for the city because closure of the dock facility would eliminate cruise ship tourism dollars for our local businesses, including the CPV funds for both the city and borough. The closure would also affect the marine industry in Seward and throughout the state. The dock is used year-round, and so is the cruise ship terminal. The cruise ship season off-season, many community events are held within the terminal, including the one everyone is familiar with, the Lydia Jacoby Watch Party, which went viral. The Alaska Railroad has been an excellent partner with the city and community, and we look forward to our continued partnership. Royal Caribbean, as the anchor tenant, has already proven their commitment to Seward through past service and expanded service. They are committed to in the upcoming years. Through these partnerships with the Alaska Railroad and Royal Caribbean, we are confident of the positive economic impact this project will bring to Seward and the state for many years to come.
Thank you very much. Any questions for the testimony, the testifier? Doesn't look like it. Next up, we have Preston Carnahan with the Royal Caribbean Group. Mr. Carnahan, can you please state your name for the record and your affiliation and provide us your testimony?
Good afternoon, Committee Chair Representative Hopkins. My name is Preston Carnahan. I'm the Director of Destination Development in Alaska for the Royal Caribbean Group. I'm calling from Miami, Florida. As I said, my focus is executing our corporation's long-term growth, development, and sustainability needs in the state of Alaska. For some context, as a company, we have 60 ships globally. We carry around 7 million guests, around 500,000 of them to Alaska each year. One of our brands, Royal Caribbean International, is the largest single cruise line in the world with the largest ships. In 2019, the last full cruise season, our company had 6 ships in Alaska. This year in 2022, we plan to have 10. And so you can see through that growth, we are excited. We are committed. Our guests and our company, we love Alaska. And we look forward to being able to grow there. We have been in Alaska since the 1990s. And as the former speaker mentioned, we've been in Seward for over 20 years. Recently, over the past couple of years, as everyone has experienced challenges during the pandemic, we really have to focus in on our development efforts. And the project in Seward through a great partnership with the railroad, who has been a steady partner with us as a customer, shines as one of the top projects for us to work on and execute, as the former speakers have mentioned. And so I would like this committee to be confident that as a company, we are committed to making this project work, to supporting the project, to supporting Seward, to ensuring that Sea Life Center and the community, the cruise tours in South Central throughout the rail belt, and the downline ports in Juneau, Skagway, Ketchikan, Icy Strait Point, Haines, and every other one of the beautiful reasons that our guests come to Alaska will be supported. Thank you for the opportunity to speak, and I stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carnahan. Say hello to the beach for us. Does anybody have any questions?
And the sunshine.
And the sunshine. Oh, there's some here today. Thank you, Mr. Carnahan. Up next, we have Tom Tuglis. Mr. Tuglis, can you state your name and any affiliations you have, and please give your testimony for the record.
My name is Tom Tugas, and I operate Major Marine Tours and two hotels in Seward. I've lived in Seward for over 30 years, and I just wanted to make a point about the fact that this dock is used on a year-round basis. As you know, marine repair, whether it's dry docks or welding or other repairs, are taking place in Seward, again, on a year-round basis, but primarily, you know, the ferry boats, tugboats, barges, fuel barges. If you were to go to the dock today, you'd see that there are three fuel barges tied to the what we call the cruise ship dock, and those are fuel barges that haul fuel out to Western Alaska. So all summer, they're hauling fuel and groceries and other supplies to Western Alaska, and I always say they spend all summer breaking things, and then they bring the vessels back to Seward in the fall. And that's a major industry in the fall. Particularly in the winter and spring, is getting all those vessels back in condition to operate during the following summer. So this dock is extremely important, not only to Seward and the rail belt, but also to other places in Alaska that are served by marine operations. So thank you for the opportunity to testify, and I encourage you to pass this resolution. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you very much, Mr. Tuglis, and thank you for your work down there in Seward. Do you have any questions for the testifier? All right, we don't. Looks like you're off the hook. Thank you, Mr. Tuglis. Let's see. With that, I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony because there is nobody else online. Does anybody else have any questions regarding anything for the railroad or about this building committee as it stands right now? Seeing none, we're going to go ahead. We did close public testimony already. There are no further questions from the committee on HB 366. We'll bring this bill up to us next week, later in the week, and so if you do have any questions or any amendments to make, please get them to us by Sunday at 6 o'clock. Or, sorry, Sunday, 6 p.m. Sunday, March 6th at noon. Thank you. If I stuck to the script, I wouldn't get myself in trouble. Our next meeting will be this Tuesday, March 8th at 1 p.m. in the room, right here. We'll be meeting with the House Resources Committee for a joint hearing on the proposed ore trucking plan developed by Kinross and the Manh Choh Project. We'll be hearing from Kinross Mining Company, the Department of Transportation, the Village of Tetlin, and representatives of local organizations. I'm looking forward to a substantive, respectful, informative hearing with all of us and our colleagues on the Resource Committee. Are there any other questions before we adjourn? Doesn't look like it. All right, thanks, everybody. At 1:55, we're going to call this meeting to adjournment.